Good morning. This is the Faith Radio Network. 39 minutes past the hour. Bill Meyer waking up with you, or at least attempting to, now that I've had my first cup of coffee. Well, he works in ministry in the heart of Milwaukee's inner city, where racial violence has flared up during the past 3 days. He's Chris Nielsen. He's Urban Program Director for InterVarsity Christian Fellowship in Milwaukee, and he joins us via phone. Good morning, Chris. How are you?
Good morning, Bill. I'm doing well, but the reality is that, you know, the last few days have been really hard, particularly as someone that loves and cares about this community. It's been a hard last few days. It's a weird thing to see your city reduced to a hashtag.
Oh, yeah. And as
a Christian, right, like, my hope is in Jesus' death and resurrection and the promise of the second coming, but it's been interesting to kind of feel the weight of hopelessness in some ways. As I've been, you know, talking with community members and, you know, interacting with people at the down by the gas station that was burned. And just seeing a lot of the pain and a lot of the suffering that, you know, exists inside of this community, even when we aren't in the national news. So, yeah, it's been a hard last couple of days.
I can hear the concern in your heart and the grief in your heart, Chris. Fill us in, if you would, for those Faith Radio listeners that have not been following the news closely. Fill us in on the facts, as you know them, of the police shooting that occurred on Saturday, and then tell us what has happened in the city since then.
Yeah, so I think what's interesting with a city like Milwaukee is that there are kind of two layers of what happened, right? So at about 4 o'clock in the afternoon on Sunday, there was an officer involved shooting. Over the course of the next couple hours, crowds were building. By the time the night came, there were protests that broke out. I tried to avoid using the riot word, the R word riot, but it's been described as a riot that burned several buildings at different intersections throughout the city. And since then, different community leaders and faith leaders have been getting together, and we've been talking about how it is that we should respond to this in a way that demonstrates the gospel well, both in body and in word, in action and in word. And so at the same time, in the area around where one of the businesses was burned, a gas station that's about a mile from where I actually live, there have been crowds that have been coming through consistently. The family has been the family of the dead man. Civil Smith is doing a fundraiser over there in order to help cover the costs that are associated with the funeral. And so the community has been coming over there. And so there have been a group of us that have been going over to pray the last couple of nights and be present and just be there to listen. The deeper level at a city like Milwaukee, and I think part of the reason why we've seen the response that we have, is that Milwaukee, and I know this has been over the news a lot, Milwaukee is, you know, the most segregated metropolitan area in the United States.
Oh, I did not realize that.
We can talk about, like, the history of Milwaukee and why that is. I'll do that now, actually. But the thing is that in Milwaukee, it isn't just that we're segregated. It's also that there's a very clear, unequal distribution of resources, right? So we have a zip code here, 53206. Where I went and ran the numbers a few years ago, and, you know, 40% of men that are coming out of that zip code will probably end up in prison at some point in their life, and about 2% will end up graduating with a college degree.
Wow.
You go to the neighborhoods that I grew up in, those numbers are flipped, right? 50-60% are going to get high school degrees and college degrees, and, you know, maybe 1% or less than 1% will end up incarcerated. Milwaukee has, and Wisconsin has, the largest black-white achievement gap in education. We have the largest black-white incarceration gap. And so we were at a roundtable yesterday morning talking with some of the faith leaders from our community, and one of them was talking about how it is that when he hears the kids that are coming from the communities where this is happening in and the communities that are surrounding it, one of the things that they don't feel is heard. They don't feel like people are listening to what it is they have to say. And to translate it, I think, even more into, like, what we as Christians believe is that there are ways in which the image of God is not honored, particularly in the inner city of Milwaukee, in the people that live there, and the residents that live there, And the reality is that because of how segregated Milwaukee is, that means that particularly for black people in the city that are growing up in the inner city, they don't feel honored or respected. And so what we're seeing, not to justify but to explain, I think part of what we're seeing right now is that 40, 50, 60 years of pain that is being expressed in the actions that we've seen in the last couple of days.
Our guest is Chris Nielsen. He's Urban Program Director for InterVarsity Christian Fellowship in Milwaukee. We'll take a quick break, come back, and find out what InterVarsity is doing and how they're partnering with local pastors to try to promote racial reconciliation and peace in that city where things are very tense right now. Stick with us here on Faith Radio. Good morning. It's Faith Radio, 47 minutes past the hour. Bill Meyer with Chris Nielsen, Urban Program Director for InterVarsity Christian Fellowship in Milwaukee. Chris has been telling us about what's been happening there over the last 72 hours with some of the racial violence and just some of the systemic issues going on. But Chris, let me ask you from a 30,000-foot level, tell us a bit about InterVarsity's ministry in the urban areas of the United States. How did that get started, and what exactly do you do?
Yeah, so InterVarsity, we have three parts to our vision statement, right? So one is that we want to see students and faculty transformed. We want to see campuses renewed because we believe that God loves the university. And the last thing is that we want to see world changers develop, right? So we want to see our college students, when they graduate, go and be representatives of what God's kingdom looks like on earth. And so starting in the 1980s, there were several, mostly men, across the country in places like Chicago, Fresno, that started bringing students in and partnering with different ministries in the city of Milwaukee. And about a decade and a half ago, my predecessor, Jen Vetras, decided that we needed a similar program here in Milwaukee. And she actually lives also about 2 miles from where everything's been happening, so it's been close to both of us, but she started partnering with a bunch of different ministries in Milwaukee, and then over spring break, we have college students that, you know, we normally think spring break is when college students go to, like, Florida. In a lot of cases, they end up coming to Milwaukee and then working with different churches, going to different churches, working at different ministry sites throughout the city. One of the organizations we partner with is literally a quarter mile from the intersection where a lot of the buildings were damaged over the course of the weekend. And so it's been really cool over the last, you know, 6 years to watch that I've been running the program, to watch 700 students come through to partner with these different churches, partner with these ministries. And we actually have 20, 30 that have begun to move back. And we have another 40 or 50 that are off in cities like Detroit, Memphis, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and are working as kind of God's agents of reconciliation in those places. Yeah, and I think in some ways what we do is kind of like the long game, you know, a city like Milwaukee this didn't happen overnight. And so fixing it is not going to happen overnight. But our hope is that as we invite more students and more people with resources and credentials to come in and be a part of what God is doing in the city and come alongside the amazing work that is already done by local ministries where we don't need to come in and replace it. We just need to partner with it and provide the gifts that we have. You know, I'm hoping that in 20, 30, 40 years, that's going to mean that a city like Milwaukee begins to look different. But yeah, in the short term, a lot of it really is just trying to work alongside ministries and providing a hand where we can, with an eye towards having these students eventually spend the next 40 years of their life after college being agents of transformation in a city like Milwaukee.
You mentioned some of the wonderful ministries that you partner with. You wrote about some of those on your Facebook page. Tell us about a few of those ministries in inner city Milwaukee and the difference that they are making.
Yeah, so one of the ones that I highlighted at the top, which full disclosure, I'm on the board of, is a ministry called God's Kids in the Hood. It was started by a woman named Deb Gaffney.
You said God's Kids in the Hood?
Yes.
Great name. Go ahead.
Yes. They do great work. And pretty much what it is it's a couple that opens up their house and does Bible studies and takes kids from the neighborhood on camping trips and things like that. And it kind of gets at that thing we were talking about earlier, right, is that at this point then in the lives of those kids, they have people that see them, they have people that are sharing the gospel with them and are working to help them, you know, become the people that God intended them to be. I also mentioned there are a couple of different schools in the area. I was a teacher before I came on staff at the university, so these teenagers that, you know, we're seeing on the news are people that are near and dear to my heart because they could just as easily be my students. And so there's a part of me that feels like they're my kids. But around the corner from us, we have Washington High School, which is where some of the kids go to. They have a program called James Place that provides SAT, ACT prep. Down the road from that is a K-8 school through the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. Yeah, Milwaukee has a weird education policy that I could talk about for like 15 minutes, but the short version is we have vouchers that are given to families by the state that allow them to send their kids to a private Christian school. And so you have Lutheran schools throughout the city that are educating kids in essentially a public school role. And so Sherman Park Lutheran is one of the schools that kind of fulfills that. I think I have like six others that were on there. And I think you have the list, so it makes it easier for you to push it out through whatever means you have. There really are a bunch of really great organizations that are doing amazing work on the ground here and are trying to make a positive impact in spite of what it is that we're seeing on the news.
Now, since the violence erupted over the weekend, your ministry, you've been partnering with a large number of pastors in the city to try to calm the racial tensions. What have the pastors been doing, Chris?
Yeah, so one of the things that we're doing every night this week is we are going over to be at the site where most of the community is gathering. And we are, if you're in the Milwaukee area, if you're going to be in the Milwaukee area, we want to invite you to come and join us at the Park Lawn Assembly of God at 8 o'clock at night, every night the rest of the week, to join us in marching over and being there to pray with people and listen and to be God's presence in a place that... a place where it is readily apparent when you're there. Besides that, we've also been talking about some different strategy pieces. There's been kind of an ongoing conversation between some pastors over the last couple of years, and we're beginning to look at, like, how do you address things like the economic situation we have in Milwaukee. We have neighborhoods where there's been 30 or 40% unemployment for a decade plus at this point, right? Great Depression level of unemployment. And so, helping get jobs in those communities is, like, essential. Working to support schools, working to try and build, help to rebuild some of the infrastructure that's broken down. But I really do think, like, one of the big things in a city like Milwaukee that is as segregated as it is, there are not a lot of places where there's a connection between the different parts of the city. And so it's been really cool to watch pastors from some of the big churches in our region come together and begin kind of that process of building bridges that unfortunately haven't existed to this point, but that God is beginning to kind of arrange everything in such a way where, you know, we're talking, we're in the room, we're interacting with each other in order to try and figure out what is it like for us to be the united body of Christ in the most segregated and most divided metropolitan area of the United States.
So you're talking about, let's say, large, predominantly white churches partnering with black churches, white pastors and black pastors reaching across the aisle?
Yeah. And also, in fairness, because race is complicated in the United States, there are also Latino pastors and particularly Hmong pastors that, you know, we're also trying to pull in and have it be a part of this process because it impacts all of us, right? And Milwaukee isn't just a black-white story. There are also, you know, the stories of the Puerto Rican and Mexican immigrants on the south side of our city. You know, the Hmong church that came over as refugees in the last 70 years, you know, became Christians and sort of sorting out, like, what does it look like to have our culture fit with this new faith? So it's cool to begin to see kind of these different groups coming together and begin to build relationships across the different parts of the city.
Chris, we just got about a minute left. How can we pray for you and the other university staff and volunteers in Milwaukee?
Yeah, so I think that one of the go-tos at this point, right, is to pray for peace. I want to ask you to pray for justice, right? That if Milwaukee goes back to the point where we're not having disruptions, that doesn't mean everything is right. And that God's vision for the city and God's hope and dream for what Milwaukee looks like is not what it looks like now. And so, yeah, praying for us that we would have the courage to pursue God's kingdom vision for this place, to lay down our agendas, right, to lay aside what we think it should look like and to instead walk in God's spirit and be guided by him, that's the big thing to pray for. You can pray for our safety. You can pray for peace. But really, we just need God's justice and God's shalom and God's vision of the community to become real.
Chris Nielsen, Urban Program Director for University Christian Fellowship in Milwaukee. Chris, appreciate so much your heart, your commitment to God's truth and justice in that very difficult place right now. And we do pray that peace will prevail over the city of Milwaukee the remainder of this week. So thank you for your time, Chris.
Thank you. And may God's justice will follow soon after. Have a good day.